Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition, the Retire Breyer edition. I got to find former U.S. Attorney James Santel, my good friend. Jim, appreciate you coming around. And we are going to take some calls. He's co-deviling, so calls, they are encouraged at 844-967-2789. I play the Mary J. Blige. That is what vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris marched out to, not at the DNC in Milwaukee, where it should have been. It was up there in Wilmington, Delaware somewhere. But the point is, the early speculation, Crudy's nominating Kamala Harris, because I think it would drive the right nuts. And perhaps it would be political in a fashion that might give them some cover if they chose, you know, obstructionism, a uniform front against the nomination. But if that's their plan, that could be any one of Joe Biden's nominees. I'm not sure that they would, you know, restrain that sort of outrage for Kamala Harris. Hell, she used to be in the Senate with them not so long ago. I think she'd make a fine choice, Jim. What do you think?
And that's another factor that we should chat about, which is she is one of theirs, so to speak. The Senate still looks at the president as one of theirs. And so she did not spend the long tenure that Joe Biden did in the United States Senate, but she was there. She is well known by senators on both sides of the political aisle. So that, too, would be something that you'd put in the pro listing, if you will, the side of the calculus in support of a nomination of Kamala Harris. I'll offer this one other historical piece that you've got me intrigued by. And that is, although there's not a specific precedent with respect to a vice president going on to the Supreme Court, we do have a precedent way back in 1921, 100 years ago. I know that you know this, Mike, and Evan knows this very well. June 30th of 1921, President Warren Harding nominated President William Howard Taft, former president, to be the new Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And also to give you some sense of how things worked 100 years ago, he was confirmed by the United States Senate the following day. And so there is a bit of precedent for the executive branch sending one of its own to the Supreme Court. That would be William Howard Taft. He's referred to as the one person in American history as the double-double, serving in both branches of the, at least two of the three branches of government at that time. Something else to put in your quiver when you're making this argument, this advancing this nomination, Mike, for Kamala Harris to be the next Associate Justice of the 2022 Supreme Court of the United States.
Well, I apologize, Jim. I was being overwhelmed with all the news of the day and the highlights and the phone calls at 844-967-2789. I think we're going to the phones. We've had a patient Robert listening from Columbia Heights, Minnesota. Robert, welcome. Say hi to my friend Jim Santel.
Hi, Jim. I got an even better suggestion than Kamala Harris.
Well, yes, go nuts, Laura Robert. Coates. Top it.
Laura Coates, she's a former federal prosecutor. She's a female. She's black. She's young. And best of all, she's a Viking fan. Skull!
That's a long ways to go for a Vikings joke, Robert. Any other thoughts before we let you go, sir?
No. If you ever listen to her on CNN, she is also very whip smart.
Well, she couldn't be. She's a Vikings fan, Robert.
Right?
844-967-2789. I'm sorry. Your thoughts?
Sure. And no doubt that, again, we've got probably four, five, six names who are at the top of the list. The New York Times has been, and to which you've added the vice president, and others have added her name. There are others out there. Highly likely that the president's lawyers and the staff are identifying all kinds of people across the country that might be possible nominees. And so just because we happen to focus on them, these are the people whose names are in New York Times, does not mean the president could not identify someone else who we have not heard of before and nominate that person too. So this is the time. If this is an afternoon of speculation, this is the time for America to do it. This is now going to be the parlor game about a very serious matter, but unless a parlor game that America engages in as we go forward here, ultimately it will leak. Before the president actually announces someone, we'll know this name fairly soon. Understand too that as we sit here, Mike, at 3:38 in the afternoon, that Stephen Breyer has not yet issued his letter. So he would have come forward up to this point and said, gosh, all the reporting is wrong if that was not the case. But we still have to wait for his letter. And at that time, he's presumably going to tell us the circumstances under which he's going to resign. Meaning, is he resigning this coming Sunday? Highly unlikely. Is he going to do what, for example, Sandra Day O'Connor did, which is stay in office until a successor is appointed? That's highly likely. Certainly, he is going to maintain his position at least through the end of this term. My guess is the president and others will want to have a new Supreme Court justice in place for the start of the new term in October of 2022.
Well, that presumes a new justice before the midterms. I'm not sure if Mitch McConnell and the Republicans want that to happen, but we'll see. 844-967-2789. Oh, poor Jen. You would have been next, but Bob's up from Minneapolis. Bob, say hi to Jim Santel.
Hiya, Jim Santel. I love your takes on everything. And I've got a question about timing.
Yes.
And kind of for snarky reasons to doubly burn the Republicans. So a newly nominated justice isn't actually the justice until they are confirmed by the Senate, and then isn't there like some sort of swearing in that they have to do?
Absolutely. And usually one follows very closely after the other. This is not one of those situations where you get a confirmation. This is not a marriage, for example, where you've got an engagement period and then we'll decide to get married a year later. Probably because of political expediency. And as we all know, strange things happen in history and in life. It is very common. We've seen this with the most recent Supreme Court justices. They are confirmed, and sometimes it's that same day that they will appear in front of someone who can administer an oath, and they become the Supreme Court justice virtually within hours. There's no timing on this, but again, you want to have that person in place as soon as possible, again, because all kinds of things can happen, as we well know, in American politics and life. The certainty of having that person in place is all important. But you're right. There's no the time of confirmation is significant. That's the big issue. But until you take that oath of office, you are not actually in that position.
Bob, what's your alternative scheme? I can hear you scheming. Well, I can hear your wheels turning.
I'm just wondering if that, between the confirmation by the Senate, where Harris, you know, breaks the tie, assuming we get these knuckleheads from, you know, the usual suspects in line, could you drink it out enough where, okay, so she's confirmed, and then I don't know if it's possible if would she have to resign before another vice president nominee could be put forward, where she could actually vote on the vice president?
Yeah,
interesting question, Bob.
Right, that becomes even a little bit more complicated. My sense is that under those circumstances, my sense is the president would want her to take that position on the Supreme Court, but it does raise that issue as well. Presumably, she could continue to preside over the United States Senate before she is sworn in, and as the Senate takes up her replacement. Good issue question about whether or not there actually has to be a vacancy. And I think as I read the Constitution, unless she resigns from the vice presidency, there would not be a vacancy such that the 25th Amendment would be triggered. So perhaps inarticulate response is, I think it would be very, very difficult for her to maintain the office of the vice presidency, to preside over the vote on her successor if she is still occupying that spot. I think most people would agree that that's probably the way this would play out.
Yeah, but it's fun speculation here on the radio.
It is.
James Santel, my fine co-devil for the hour, Justice Stephen Breyer, retiring from the Supreme Court. We don't know his terms of exit yet, you know, whether it's immediate or, you know, after the summer, but we'll find out soon, we suspect. And we want to hear your opinions as well. I have nominated right here on Talk Radio, Kamala Harris to be our next Associate Justice. You may have a differing opinion, but one more step I'd encourage the speculation on at 844-967-2789. If Kamala joins the Supreme Court, who's our new VP? Let's go back to the phones. AM 950 represent today another Minneapolis caller. Josh, welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I was just wondering, isn't it kind of discrimination to for him to announce that he's going to pick somebody based upon their race and their sex? I mean, like, if that was reversed and Donald Trump were to say, I'm only going to elect or pick a white male, Democrats would be screaming and pointing a finger and saying, see, he's racist or he's sexist.
Well, Josh, and I'm going to let the fine attorney counsel will answer the question, but if you recall, Donald Trump put forward his list of presumptive nominees, the Federalist list. And my understanding is there weren't anything but white people on that list. And they were all anti-abortion. They were all willing to overturn Roe v. Wade. So he did have a litmus test, Josh. It just wasn't the black race. It was the white race. Or at least that was my opinion. Jim, what's yours?
Sure. And so I think Josh has identified what plainly is going to be among the discussion items now going forward. And it was at the time that Joe Biden announced he was going to do this in February 2020, right before the South Carolina primary. This has always been out there. And so it's not a new thing for him to say. Reasonable people can differ on this. The upshot is that a president does have the authority, does have the responsibility to nominate as he or maybe one day she feels is appropriate. And by that, we begin with the notion, of course, that you should have someone who is competent. And I mentioned before, you don't have to be a lawyer, but probably that makes an awful lot of sense. The people who are being bandied about today have plainly been some judges. We talked about Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, others. There's an associate justice of the California Supreme Court, Sherrilyn Ifill, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund attorney. All these folks are lawyers. And so they have those qualifications. I would offer, Josh, that that's first and foremost. And I think the president's statement, which he made back during the campaign, presumed that you've got an awful lot of people in America who are highly qualified for this, any one of whom could serve in that capacity. And then maybe not a secondary, but a parallel consideration is, what does the Supreme Court look like? We want to make certain that America feels confident that its Supreme Court does have some reflection in the demographics, the immutable characteristics of a citizenry. That has certainly not always been the case and arguably is still not the case. But that's the kind of discretionary decision that a president can, in fact, make. But again, Josh, you and others can have differing views about the extent to which a decision about race. You could raise issues about religion, about sexual orientation, identity, all these kinds of things, whether that should be a part of the consideration. That will be among the debated issues as this debate goes forward in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. You're going to hear about that in the public domain. And so you raise a good issue. I would offer that we should have a Supreme Court that looks like America in some imperfect ways.
As mentioned, Fox News already raised that issue, Jonathan Turley specifically. I got James Santel at least one more segment. Stephen Breyer, Justice Breyer, retiring from the court. Crudy's willing to put forth Kamala Harris and play out the strategery. At least it makes for good talk radio fodder. But many of you have opinions, and we're taking phone calls in the next segment. So join us. Stick around. Be patient on the phones. 844-967-2789. Jim, I also got a few questions about the January 6th. Are they advancing this? Do you think? I got like 30 seconds. Jim, are you becoming more encouraged by the direction of perhaps future indictments?
A committee plainly actively going in the right direction. There are lots of activity there. Your question underscores the most important point, which is, of course, the committee cannot prosecute anyone. That is only the Attorney General. That's only the U.S. Department of Justice. Lisa Monaco out there saying she is looking at some of these electors, these false electors, certainly indication on the past week or so that there is some movement in that direction. But again, only the executive branch can prosecute. All the work on Capitol Hill, the House Select Committee, that does not result in the prosecution of anyone.
Merrick Garland never got a state when he drops indictments. He'll get it right here. Merrick Garland Day all across Devil Radio Land. More devils. We'll be back.